listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
All right. Welcome on in. It is episode 3 of the Fours Up Podcast. I am your host, Marsh Thomas. As always, I am joined by my boy, Jordan Nelson. Jordan, how are we?
I'm doing great, Marsh. How about you, man?
Man, I am hyped. I am so freaking hyped. It is a day. It's a great day to be a Miami Hurricane. We got so much to cover. It's Tuesday right now, and as you know, it has been a very eventful 48 to 72 hours for the Canes, man. I don't know how we're going to get through all of this, but...
I'm spent, dude. I've just been refreshing Twitter for, right? like, 48 hours straight. My thumb is sore, and I'm just, like, I'm tired, you know? I need to take a nap.
Yeah, I'm a little tired. I've been on Twitter literally nonstop, and it's not just the Canes. We had the McGregor fight that I was hyped about, and I am sunburnt because I went tanning. If you saw my latest Twitter picture, my face is bright pink. I look like a freak right now. But thoughts and prayers to our friends in South Florida. We see that it's supposed to be down in the 30s. So please, guys, please be safe. Where do we even start? I mean, there's so many things to talk about. I mean, the biggest news, let's get into it. We have a quarterback.
We do have a quarterback, and we have a really freaking good quarterback. We have a 50 touchdowns and 6 interceptions quarterback.
De'Ara King, transfer portal. He is coming to Coral Gables. He is now a Miami Hurricane. This all went down yesterday on Martin Luther King Day. Man, I'm still in shock that we got him.
Yeah, me too, man. Like, me too. It's amazing.
Yeah. So, since last time that we recorded, I mean, I know we were talking last week. When we mentioned and we talked a lot about him, but honestly, I was not feeling very confident that he was going to come here, just because, I mean, when he first entered the portal, I was thinking that he would go somewhere like LSU or Oklahoma, Oregon. You know, we were hearing Arkansas because of Kendall Briles, but man, he went on a visit this weekend and he chose Miami, man. It's incredible. Yeah. What do you think? I mean, when you first saw that, I mean, what was going through your head, man? Tell me everything you're feeling.
I woke up on Monday morning feeling pretty confident. I was just thinking, from all the stuff that Andrew Ivins was saying from the Manny Navarro report, it just didn't make sense that he wasn't coming. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, when I woke up on Monday, I was thinking, I just felt really confident. I was like, man, I feel like there's a 95% chance that we end up with King. And if we get King, I think we get Roche too. So, I was kind of expecting it. You know, I tweeted that morning. My official prediction was that we landed both because of how confident I was feeling, just because, like, it just made sense to me. But, man, when it came through, I was hyped, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I was.
And we're going to be talking all about that. We got two guests coming on. We got Brad Tejada. I don't know if that's how you say his last name, but you all know Brad from Twitter. He'll be coming on. And then also Kevin Fiedler, another writer from State of View, just like me. He'll be joining us as well. But, man, I mean, what's today's date? It's the 21st. It wasn't even a month ago that we were down in the dumps from the Independence Bowl. And now we got Rhett Lashley. We got De'Ara King. We got Quincy Roche. We're going to talk about him as well. But, I mean, this kind of just changes everything. Listen to how happy I am.
Oh,
my
dude.
God. I mean, I'm so joyful. I'm about to shout it from the mountaintops, man. Like, we have a quarterback. I mean, okay, 2018 stats, 36 passing touchdowns, nearly 3,000 passing yards, only 6 interceptions, 674 rushing yards, and 14 touchdowns himself.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
No, good. You're good. I mean, and the odds came out yesterday, the Heisman odds, and he was the third man on there. Did you see that?
Yeah, dude, that scares me a little bit, honestly.
I know.
Too much hype too soon.
I know. I was so hyped yesterday. I'm saying 10-2 and things like that. Then I woke up this morning. I'm like, all right, okay. I think I've been humbled a little bit. I don't know something, but in my dreams, but I'm a little bit more humbled now. But I mean, no disrespect to any of the quarterbacks that we have now, but we got De'Eriq King. Like, we actually having. I was talking to my brother yesterday, who's on a mission, so he can't watch sports or anything like that. And, you know, he doesn't know what's going on. And I told him who we got, and he was freaking out, and we were just both yelling. And, like, we actually have a real Heisman candidate, a guy who can – I mean, I think he could before he came, you know, UNC was probably going to be the coastal favorite going into this next year. But, man, I really do think that Miami is the team to beat now.
Yeah, I mean, if we're being real, this is a scenario every year. Miami is the team to beat on paper. But, you know, that was it last year. That was it the year before, you know? Like, we just have to show up. But once again, on paper, you got to give it to us, you know?
Yeah. And right now, I keep going back and forth between being 8-4 and realistic or 10-2 and really optimistic. And so, and we're going to get into predictions and everything like that. I mean, it's still January 21st. Spring ball doesn't start for probably – another month and a half or something like that. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. Like, that, and a lot of people are saying, like, oh, this is how we felt with Tate Martell last year and things like that. But it's not, man. I mean,
it's different.
De'Eriq King is a proven college quarterback. He's a proven superstar in college football. And
yeah,
I mean, he just changes everything, especially with the Rhett Lashley offense. And he's a dual threat guy, and I mean, I just keep rewatching his highlights, and I'm so GD excited, man. Like, I mean, I don't think I've never been this excited in my life probably to watch a Miami Hurricanes offense, but I'm sorry, this is I'm excited.
Yeah, dude, this is different than last year. This is different than Tate, and I mean, this podcast is a huge fan of Tate Martell. I think we can both say that, right? So no disrespect to the young man, because I still hope that we get to see him as the starting QB at some point. But this is different. You know, 50 touchdowns. I mean, dude, like I was saying last week, you just gotta – if you watch that highlight tape on YouTube, it's hard not to crack a smile. And just think of him, you know, in a Miami uniform, just sprinting up the middle of the field off of a read option, you know, and oh man, I'm just so hyped. I can't even
think straight
right now, bro.
It's not even his passing, it's his running skills. I mean, he's like a cheetah. Yeah. Like,
oh,
he's,
yeah.
Cool Vic. He's
the fastest player on the field, like always.
He really is. He absolutely is. And let me just read his career stats. So career wise, he has thrown for 4,925 yards, 50 passing touchdowns, and he has rushed for 1,421 yards and 28 touchdowns. I mean, I mean, and people say, oh, he was only at Houston and the competition's lower. I'm like, shut up. Like, really? Like,
dude, some people just want to hate, you know. Even there's a section of the Miami fan base that won't be happy with anything that happens. No.
And you know what? And those are probably like the – I mean, there's so many – I don't want to single anyone out, but, I mean, there's so many, like, Jaren fans coming out saying, oh, it was against – it was only for Houston and things like that. I'm like, shut up. Like, and, I mean, and – I'm kind of patiently waiting for one of our quarterbacks to drop the respect my decisions.
Yeah. Oh, I will respect that decision. I promise. I promise you that.
You're waiting for it.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually live from a certain quarterback's room helping him pack right now. So.
That is awesome. But yeah, we got De'Eriq King. And then about an hour later, Quincy Roche, the defensive end from Houston, or not Houston, from Temple. He announced, and everyone knows that I have been a huge fan of Quincy Roche. Yeah,
lead recruiter, Marsh Thomas.
13 sacks, 19 tackles for loss last year. And we should add that both Roche and King are immediately eligible. We'll get both for just 1 year. But Roche and Rousseau, we got the best defensive end duo in the entire country right now.
Oh, dude, we might have the best defensive end trio. I mean, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but definitely the best duo. There's a good chance we have three dudes that would start anywhere in the country.
Well, I mean, yeah, and you know, you never know what 42-year-old Scott Patchen's going to do either. So
yeah, right?
Like, I'm trying not to get excited, but talking with you and on this podcast, and we're about to have Brad come on, and I know he's not going to be negative at all.
He's going to come in throwing haymakers, man. I can feel it.
Yeah, yeah. Should we get him on?
Yeah, let's do it. Let me add him in.
All righty.
All right, it's ringing right now.
Fellas, what's going on tonight?
Hey, Brad, how you doing, bro?
What's going on, buddy?
Doing great, man. How are y'all doing tonight, man? It's a pleasure being on.
Hey, we are doing good. Hey, you are our first guest, and for anyone, how do you say your last name? Is it Tejada?
It's Tejada. So Tejada is like Miguel Tejada, like the shortstop for
So that's
Orioles
kind of what I was thinking. But hey, you're a good friend. We've met, you know, we met down in Orlando before the Florida game. We've been tight ever since, and you're our first. It's only natural that you're our first guest on the Fours Up podcast, and I know you've been excited about this for the past 24 hours. So let's get right into it, man. De'Aaron King, he is a Miami Hurricane. What are we thinking? How are we feeling?
Dude, honestly, I'm pretty sure there's Crown flying off the shelf at every liquor store in South Florida because we got ourselves a King, fellas. I'm telling you right now, Crown Royal needs to sponsor Miami because De'Aaron King is about to take over. I honestly feel like this is probably the most talented quarterback we have ever seen in orange and green. I don't know if he will pan out to be the best quarterback we've ever seen, but talent-wise, pure talent. I mean, wow. I mean, you guys know the stats. I mean, him alone, he scored 50 touchdowns. I'm pretty sure as an offense this past season, we scored, what, 43?
Yeah, 43.
I mean, that – and before we even keep talking about players, Manny Diaz, dude. I mean, he deserved a lot of bashment after this past season. It was probably, like most fans think, the worst season we've ever had, losing to teams like FIU. That was a little ridiculous. It's his first year as a coach. So, I mean, even though a lot of fans wanted him out, I think he deserves maybe one more chance. And I could honestly say, man, being a fan, there's nothing more I could ask for what Manny Diaz has done this offseason. He's put in the work. He's hired the right guys. I mean, shoot, man, we just landed a wide receiver and we don't even have a wide receiver coach. How's that possible?
Yeah, you know, you're right. Right. I mean, that's kind of the way that I felt about Manny as well. Is I've said on this podcast multiple times, he does all the right things. The problem last year was that they didn't translate to success. But I mean, how could any of us be mad with you know, the offseason stuff that he's been doing? You know, he's killing it. And I'm hoping that he learns from his mistakes last year and figures out a way to translate, you know, just all the incredible things that he's been able to do off the field and turn it into on the field success.
For sure.
So Brad, let me ask you this. Give me your thoughts on Quincy Roche as well, the defensive end from Temple that also announced that he was coming to Miami.
Oh, man, you and I both know from the beginning. I think it was January 3rd we were talking about this, me and you, and we saw him in the portal, and we immediately knew that guy along with Russo, man, I mean, it's going to be nice. I mean, yes, he plays in a somewhat weaker conference, people would like to say, but you still got to produce. You're still running plays. You still got to get past that offensive tackle, sack the quarterback. I mean, he had, what, 13 sacks, 19 tackles for a loss, I believe, this past season. I mean, you team that up with Russo, and then you got Jalen Phillips, who I know a lot of fans are happy about getting their hopes up. I hope he does well. I'm not going to put all my eggs in one basket with him. I want to see how he looks on the field with full pads on. But, I mean, you still got young guys like Harvey, Elijah Roberts coming in, Quentin Williams. I mean, I think Quentin Williams is going to be a stud as well.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I think we're doing pretty well, though, as far as defensive line.
Absolutely. And let me ask you this, kind of keep going. With the addition of King, with the addition of Roche, I know you're hyped about this upcoming season. I mean, we've been talking the last few hours and all yesterday. Let me ask you this. What were your expectations for this season before we added these players, and what are your expectations for this season now that we've added them?
Now, are you talking with Rhett Lashley already or before the Rhett Lashley hire?
Rhett Lashley in both scenarios.
Okay, so since we hired Rhett Lashley, I definitely thought we were going to be a lot better. I wouldn't say, like, for sure winning the conference. I still think teams like North Carolina and even Georgia Tech is making a little bit of run as well. I thought we would be pretty well, maybe 8-4, something like that. Now with getting a dynamic player like King, I mean, you turn on his film, you look at my guy Roman Kane. I mean, he breaks it down perfect. And when you watch this guy's film, it's honestly what we thought Tate Martell out of high school would be, and De'Aaron King has already done it in college. I mean, he literally does everything. The pocket breaks down, he's able to escape and run for 20, 30 yards. He runs out of the pocket, throws dimes. He's quick. He's decisive. And when you look at Rhett Lashley's offense, he does a lot of quick passes where the quarterback has to immediately make a decision within 2 seconds, which, again, Kane fans, I know we're worried about offensive linemen, but as we know, we might be getting a good one coming soon. But I think just alone with our experience with the offensive line, being able to get together for another year and the play calls that Rhett Lashley will be doing along with De'Aaron King. You're talking about a quarterback who's going to be releasing the ball anywhere from 2 seconds or below. And that's going to help out our offensive linemen tremendously. So after all of this, I am definitely expecting us to be in Charlotte. I don't know if we're up there with Clemson yet, honestly. I mean, yes, I'm a diehard Kane fan. I'm loving everything about this, but I'm going to be somewhat realistic. We still got to prove it on the field. sorry, my voice is a little gone from last night, honestly. I'm still from screaming, man. It was amazing, though. I mean, every Kane fan's on the timeline last night. It felt awesome to get a guy like De'Aaron King, Quincy Roche at the same time. So I'm expecting Charlotte. Already booked the hotel room for Michigan State. I think that's going to be an awesome game, great atmosphere. I already know a lot of Kane fans are looking forward to it and going. So I really think it's going to be a great year, fellas. Again, we're expecting a lot, and I think this is the year that Manny Diaz needs to prove it on the field. And if he doesn't, I honestly think we have everything else as far as a team and even coaching staff. I'm looking forward to seeing who he hires wide receiver coach. But I think we have the pieces now, fellas, and it's on Manny Diaz to produce it. And if he doesn't, I think him and Blake James will both be gone, and then we will eventually get what we want to get. But I'm not going to think about that right now. I'm going to think about the present, and Manny Diaz is doing a phenomenal job this offseason. Rhett Lashley is doing a phenomenal job. And hey, shout out to Ryan Rigoni as well. Right. He didn't have many big plays this season, Kane fans, but hey, he helped with De'Aaron King. I'm going to tell you that right now. And that might have been the biggest play of his career. Yeah. So shout out to Ryan Ragone.
Yeah. The only play of his career, it might have.
Hey, hey, I didn't want to say anything like that, but hey, man, yeah, I'm just happy, just like every other Kane fan, man.
Yeah. So I got a question for you, Brad, and you touched on it a little bit. So with what you just said, you know, how you think Manny's been doing a great job, all things considered, making all the right moves. What's the threshold for you? Like, what does Manny have to do to save his job? You know, what's the cutoff point between getting fired and coming back next year in your mind?
Oh, no. Honestly, straight up 9 wins. He needs at least 9 wins.
Is that with the bowl or without?
I think he needs to win the bowl game.
Okay. Yeah. So are we saying 9 wins total, or like if he wins yes. 8 in the regular yes. season and gets the bowl, he's safe?
Yes. I would say if he gets 8 wins and gets his bowl game, I think we need to blow out whatever team we have, but man, even saying that right now on the phone with you guys, I still don't even know if that's enough. Honestly, it might have to be 9 wins and 10 being the bowl game. I honestly think there's no reason, guys, that with the schedule that we have this year,
yeah,
and the talent that we have, and now we have the coaching, and we finally have the scheme that we've all been wanting. I mean, going to the spread alone is going to do wonders for our whole team. Guys like Mark Pope are going to be able to shine. Brevin Jordan's going to be able to get even more touches than what you see before. Rhett Lashley does a lot of extended run plays where it's not necessarily the running back getting the ball, but it's quick screen passes or things like that where – a lot of these dynamic players are gonna shine, man. And then we're not even talking about the running game alone. I mean, he implements the running game just as well, and it's just quiet. And when you talk about all these running backs that we have, I mean, dude, the sky is the limit for this team.
Man, I think you've gotten me more excited than I already was, man. You're like my Energizer bunny.
Yeah.
Dude, and you're going to Michigan State for sure. That's a thing.
100%. Already got my room.
Man, yeah. I might need to make the trip, man.
Yeah, I want to as well, man.
Do it. guys, you got to do it. I think this is the year, man. I'm planning to be at Paradise Camp. That was an awesome experience. If either of you get the opportunity or want to go down, I mean, it's a great experience to see the guys live there teaching all the young kids. And
I'm definitely trying to get I'm trying to get to either Paradise or the spring camp or
for sure.
But I know, man. Now that everything's going on, I just wanna get back down there, man. Like Jordan and I were talking about right before he came on that how there was a lot of kind of hype last year, but I mean just from yesterday, like it's kind of just jumped up like, it's just like a whole new feeling.
Dude, yesterday, I'm pretty sure I could talk for a lot of Cam fans because I texted both of y'all yesterday. And and when we woke up yesterday, everybody had that feeling in their stomach like, dude, this is the day.
Yeah.
It's going to change the program. And I think you're going to see – we're talking about turnover chains, man, but I think we're going to see some crowns out here soon.
Oh, man. Dude, you're getting me hyped, but the more I get hyped, just years of PTSD from being a Miami fan, the more I get hyped, the more sick to my stomach I feel.
Oh, dude, you're telling me, man. It's like they lure – like the Hurricanes football literally lures in fans every year. It's like, dude, we had a terrible year this year, and we were quiet for like – what, maybe like 2 weeks, 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden, like, boom, we're like on the timeline. I mean, you can't take Miami football away from social media now, man. We always find a way to make the headlines, and I think our rivals hate it, because even if they have a better season than us, they're not more relevant than us when it comes to things like that, and we just make it such a big deal where they can't do anything about it. They got to eat it, and you know what? Florida State's going to eat another loss with a fourth straight quarterback.
I love it.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you definitely got us. We were already excited, but I think you've kind of pushed us to that next level, man. But hey, brother, we appreciate you coming on, man, and you'll definitely be a reoccurring guest. How's that sound?
Hey, man, I appreciate it, fellas. Thank you again for having me. And it is super cold out here in Gainesville. I'm gonna tell you that right now. It's like in the low 20s right now, so I'm freezing.
You poor thing.
But you guys have a great night, man, and go Canes, and I think we're back, fellas.
Hey, thanks again, Brad.
But thanks, Brad.
Later.
Oh, that was great.
That was good. Not a bad not a bad first guest, man.
I know. Dude, Brad, geez, he pretty much summed up everything that I wanted. I kept going to talk, and then he'd say what I was thinking. Like, he was on top of things, man.
Yeah, he was definitely. I mean, his voice was gone.
Yeah,
that's so funny,
dude. That's great. I love Canes fam, dude. I freaking love Canes fam.
Yeah, hey, it really is just it's just good vibes, man. And Brad, and no one brings those good vibes like Brad. And apparently it's Tejada, not Tejada, right? That was good to clarify that. I kind of felt like a douchebag, but
no, you're good, bro.
Yeah, man, he's good. Yeah, and first of all, we got to get you down. Forget about the Michigan State game. We got to get you down like for a home game.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, like, I got my eyes set on Florida State this year. Man, I just need to, you know.
Depending on where I'm planning on the FSU game for sure.
Okay.
As I try to get down I went 2 years ago for when we were the 27-7 comeback game, and man, that was it was on my birthday, and it was
incredible. Oh man.
It was like a religious experience, man.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, my problem is I've never really had anyone to go with, you know, like I grew up only kid in my school, you know, only one of my friends that liked the Canes. My dad doesn't care about them. You know, he's not a college football fan. And if he was, he'd probably like BYU or Utah anyways. So, but, you know, I think I've made a lot of friends in Canes fan recently. So it might be time to do it. You know, I'll have people to hang out with and tailgates to go to.
Absolutely, man. I mean, that's how I was last year. I mean, I didn't know that many Canes fans besides like my family and also like some of my childhood friends, but you know, you meet guys like Brad and you know, Big Spade and Canes Edit, good old James. I mean, the Orange Bowl boys, I love those guys. And Canes fam, I love them, dude. Like, I mean, you kind of only know them through social media, but once you meet them, it's like, you're meeting part of your family, man. It's it's just a good time. But yeah, I mean, Brad kind of summed up everything.
Yeah.
Between De'Aaron King and Quincy Roche and we got two more commitments that we're gonna talk about here in a little bit. But it's just good times, man.
9 wins, though. I mean, I said it on this pod before we had King and Roche. Like, I wanted 9 wins out of Manny before, so. I mean, what do I have to expect now?
Yeah.
You have to up them a little bit, right?
Yeah. And I think Brad hit it right on the head. I think 9 regular season wins is it has to be done.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I'm still debating between 8-4 and 9-3, that kind of stuff. But when you really look at the schedule, I mean, I'm trying to think who is going to be ranked when we play them. You know, UNC probably is going to be in the top 25 preseason, at least. But other than that, I how did Michigan State do this past year? I don't even know.
Like, they weren't good, dude. Let me look up their record, but I know they weren't good. They had a disappointing year, and I'm pretty sure there was kind of talk that D'Antonio might be changing jobs. Let me see their record.
But besides, like, I mean, while you're looking that up, but I'm trying to think, like, Va Tech, I mean, they probably won't have – I mean, they'll probably be okay. I mean, playing up in Blacksburg is always hard. Florida State's always a tough game, but I mean, I'm not really expecting them to be, you know, a top 25 team or a, you know, 25 team when we face them. I mean, I'm just trying to think who. I mean, Virginia. I don't think Bryce Perkins is returning, is he? Is he? I don't even know.
No. He was in his last year of eligibility. So Michigan State went 7-6 for the second straight year. So last year 7-6, and then this year 7-6 as well. So I don't think we should expect too much out of them.
I mean, playing on the road is always tough. Yeah. But I'm just trying, like, especially with De'Aaron King and the spread offense, man. Like, man, Brad just kind of hyped me up a little bit too much.
Yeah, I'm too. I'm like tapping my feet, man. I want to pace around the room and like flex and scream a little bit. You know what I mean?
I know. I want to dress up as Sebastian the Ibis and go hype up the crowd.
Yeah.
But, okay, all right, we have one more guest for you guys. It's Kevin Feeler. Let's get him on the phone, all right?
Okay, it's calling right now. Kevin, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hi, Kevin. Man?
What's going on?
What's going on, my friend? How are you?
I mean, a little bit better now that we have the king, but, you know.
We have the king.
No big deal, right?
We have him.
No big deal. No need to overreact, you know.
Kevin Feeler joins us right now, a fellow State of the U writer. Kevin, let's get right into it. De'Aaron King, he's a Miami Hurricane. What are your thoughts on him? What he brings to this Rhett Lashley offense? What are your – just give me everything you're thinking about De'Aaron King.
All right. So, you know, my first initial impressions was – you know, and I tweeted this a few times. The Miami Hurricanes get better with the deal. I mean, there's no other way around it. They get better. And the biggest reason for that is because, you know, one of the things I look for when I'm watching quarterbacks is their ability to improvise when things don't initially go their way. There is not many quarterbacks that I've watched that are better at it than De'Aaron King. You'll see him run around the pocket and make it look like he's playing, like, backyard football. And then he'll throw some 10-yard pass down the field for a first down or run for a touchdown. I mean, he's explosive. He's, you know, elite at the position. There's a reason he's now considered the Heisman Trophy, you know, what, third in the voting by Bovada. There's not many players in this current college football landscape that I would want over De'Aaron King.
I have to admit, I already set aside $100 to put on him for Heisman.
Frankly, I wouldn't blame you.
I already moved it to a different bank account, man. It's happening.
Not sure I can blame you. I mean, it's a guy who he's playing in a system that's going to fit him perfectly. Yeah. He's playing in a modernized offense, not this pro-style offense that they ran last season. Yeah. They're running a modernized offense with a modernized quarterback. And there's no other way to put it than, holy crap, they're going to be a lot better on offense. Yeah. A lot better.
Yeah. What I'm hoping to see is I've been watching 2013 Auburn highlights, like Nick Marshall, what Rhett Lashley kind of was doing with him. And, oh, my gosh. Like, De'Aaron King is 100% better than Nick Marshall was. And so just imagining, like, that offense, but with King running up the field, oh, my gosh.
I mean, it's impressive. I watched the game against Texas Tech, and he was making throws out there. I just go, holy crap.
Yeah.
I just go, holy crap, that's a nice throw.
Yeah.
And then against USF, he breaks, like, three tackles, scores a touchdown run. I just sit there in disbelief.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting here, and I haven't seen a Miami quarterback do that in forever.
Yeah,
and well, a quarterback being able to improvise and make throws that are elite level throws, that are NFL level throws. And yeah. De'Aaron King makes them look like it's, you know, a Madden video game.
Yeah, absolutely. And so let me ask you this, Kevin. Does De'Aaron King walk in here and he's automatically the day one starter, or do you see anyone else that we have kind of even competing for that starting job?
Now, they won't say he's the starter, but there's no way he commits to Miami if he's not the starter, and he's not promised to be the starter. I mean, and I can't see another quarterback on this roster that overtakes him. I mean, Tyler Van Dyke's a freshman coming in. Jaren Williams might transfer, and Kosi Perry's had his struggles. Tate Martell, we haven't seen enough of him.
You know, the list goes on and on. And Derek King, when he played, Lincoln Riley called him one of the five best quarterbacks in football. And he said that might be too much.
Yep.
So I don't know if there's a quarterback on this roster that will even have a chance.
Wow. All right. I mean, I love to hear it, man. I love to hear it. I mean, I'm trying to, like, stay, like, realistic, but, I mean, he's incredibly talented. I mean, we've all seen the highlights. We've all seen the numbers. What do you think? I know a lot of people are kind of talking about the offensive line and how they're going to still be a struggle. What do you say to that when you think about the Rhett Lashley offense, about D.R. King's how he's able to improvise? How do you think all of that is going to help this offensive line? Because we know that the O-line was awful last year, but how do you think it'll improve this year?
Well, you know, it's kind of too early to tell before we go into spring camp with a new head coach or with a new offensive scheme and a new coach. But I think the easiest thing to do is when you listen to Rhett Lashley talk and he goes, we're going to get the ball out quickly. What's the easiest way to hide a bad offensive line? Get the ball out quickly. Don't give him a chance to, you know, miss an assignment or get beat off the edge. Just get the ball out quickly. And when you have a guy like Derek King who can scramble out the pocket, make throws on the run, you know, make plays with his feet when it's needed, the offensive line only has to play at an average level. We don't need them to be a Wisconsin offensive line because they're not going to be asked to be Wisconsin's offensive line. They're going to ask to, you know, just get things done and then let Derek King make plays when he needs to.
Perfect. Well, so I got a question for you. After hearing your thoughts on the offense, so my worries about defense come from we're going to be inexperienced at linebacker, we're paper thin at cornerback. But then also how Rhett Lashley's up-tempo offense is going to affect, you know, the amount of time the defense spends on the field and how much we're getting passed on and stuff like that. What's your projection for our defense this year? How do you think we perform on that side of the ball?
I mean, I think the numbers speak for themselves. Manny Diaz's defenses have always been great. And it's not – I don't think it takes that major step back. I mean, you did mention the linebackers do have some concerns with in terms of the experience. But, you know, you bring back Zach McLeod, who's been there for 3 years. He's been a starter for 3 years. He played 4 games last year, then redshirted. And you only need two of them. You only need two true linebackers. And you have the striker. You have 5 defensive backs in total. I am concerned about the cornerback depth and – There are ways you can kind of mitigate that in a way. You know, I think you do have one certain starter now, Blades, likely DJ Ivy. You have 2 safeties, so that's 4 already. Then you just need to find that 5th guy. Is it Gilbert Pearson? Is it, you know, maybe it's Isaiah Dunson who just came in out of Texas. You know, I watch him, and he's got great coverage skills. He's fluid. He kind of knows how to read routes, so maybe he comes in spring camp, fall camp, and can really dominate and get a spot. But I'm not too concerned yet because, I mean, their defensive line is going to be great too. I mean, when you ask NFL guys what's the way you build an offense, it's through the offensive line, which Miami still needs to address, the quarterback position, and having a dang good pass rush. And Miami's going to have 2 of those figured out. They have their quarterback, and they have a pass rush now with Rousseau, Roche, Nesta, Silveira. I mean, it's deep. It's talented. So I don't know how much we're going to see maybe how the cornerbacks develop as camp goes on. And maybe, you know, I think linebackers right now is probably not that big of an issue for me because you have McLeod and you have Brooks, but we'll see maybe how they develop. And then, you know, honestly, just have to take it by ear, but I'm not sure it's too much of an issue right now.
Okay. Well, man, and Jordan and I, we've been talking about this and everyone on Twitter has been talking about this kind of expectations for this next year, and what does Manny Diaz have to do to keep his job? How many wins, like, what are you thinking, you know, what kind of season does Manny have in order to keep his job?
So I don't know the exact number because I'm obviously every kind of off AD is going to have a different kind of minimum criteria, but I think the floor for this team should absolutely be 8 wins. I think the minimum should be 8 wins. The biggest issue was you didn't have a quarterback, you didn't have a kicker. You solved both of those, and we're in January. Then the biggest issue is You do lose some talent on both sides of the ball. You lose a lot of defensive pieces that, you know, were big time contributors for a long time. And then on offense, you do lose some playmakers, and obviously you lose maybe one of your most explosive guys who wasn't used as much in Jeff Thomas. You lose your best running back in DJ Dallas, but those positions still have talent behind them. I think by far the floor, the minimum is 8-4, and the highest I think they can go right now is 10 wins. I think, you know, 10 wins isn't completely off the table. They do have, you know, three really tough conference games with Virginia, Virginia Tech, and Wake Forest all on the road, but they could come out there with 3 wins, 2 wins and a loss. And, you know, I think their out-of-conference schedule will give them some challenges. Temple's a really good AAC team. They're a very talented team. They're well coached. They play well every single day. And Michigan State's also a Power 5 team. But I wouldn't rule out the realm of possibility for them to win all those games, win all but maybe 2 conference championship games. And I think right now, though, I'd put them at probably 8-4, 9-3 with the expectation to maybe move up.
Okay. I mean, that's what I'm saying right now. I'm being realistic. I want to say 8-4 and kind of a little more optimistic. I'm more 9-3 and 10-2 because, I mean, when we get back, I mean, we always kind of rethink, like, I mean, talent wise, especially with De'Ara King and Roche and Rhett Lashley, you know, conducting the offense, there's no reason we should win less than 8 games. But do you see us adding any more players from the transfer portal or just recruiting in general?
I mean, I think the general expectation is going to be you let these guys come in for fall camp or spring camp, excuse me, and you see kind of what you have to fill. So if you go into spring camp and you know, your offensive line's clicking, the wide receivers are clicking, the running backs are clicking, then there's no reason to go out there and go in the transfer portal and waste a position or a scholarship on a guy who won't play. And obviously, you know, there's always the expectation that maybe a guy unexpectedly enters the portal, and then you obviously have to pursue them. But I think right now I don't see anyone going in through the transfer portal. We may get a few more 2020 recruits coming in. Obviously, signing day is kind of quickly approaching. But honestly, right now I don't really see them wanting to pursue anyone else because there aren't many players at positions of need that would immediately help the team.
Okay. All right. Well, because I don't even know if we have any roster spots available, especially after we added Keyshawn Smith today. But, you know, an offensive lineman from the portal, I'm kind of hoping that we kind of go after a guy. But, no, I definitely hear what you're saying. Kev, can't thank you enough, man. And whenever you ever want to come on again, you are more than welcome to. And go check out Kevin on State of the U. He's always writing good stuff. And Kev, thanks a lot, man.
Hey, of course, man. Kevin. Thanks for having me.
All right. Oh, man. How are we feeling, man? I mean, this is.
You and Kevin are able to be a lot more realistic than I am, man. My lie game is already started. When I'm thinking about 9 wins, I'm just like, no, man, there's no way we only get 9 wins.
Kevin definitely I think he's a lot more like me, and we're thinking a little bit more realistic and crap like that. But I'm ready to kick off, man. I'm ready to kick off tomorrow.
It's hard for me to feel reserved right now, man. My gosh, I'm gonna get killed for this, man, but I have a hard time seeing less than 10 wins. I'm gonna get killed when it doesn't happen, because it probably won't. But I just can't imagine us winning less than 10 games, dude.
No, I was the same way last year. I started off saying 8-4, and then after covering fall camp and being there and just being around the hype, actually being in Miami, I went up to 10-2, and we obviously didn't get that. And so right now I'm saying 8-4 right now. 9-3 maybe, but I don't know, man. 10 wins is – you know how lucky we were to get to 10 wins in 2017?
Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
But, okay, so we got De'Ara King. We got Quincy Roche. We added another receiver today he's a West Coast Cane. West Coast Kane, wide receiver. Yeah, Keyshawn Smith. Welcome to the family, man.
Out of San Diego. Yeah.
Yeah, out of San Diego. He's a wide receiver. What do you got on him?
So I had a little bit of time to watch some film on him before we started up the pod. So I had been saying on Twitter all week that I really wanted a rangy, taller wide receiver. We're kind of good on the smaller, fast guys. You know what I mean? On inside wide receivers, we're kind of set for that. I'm worried about our depth on the outside. You know, guys that can go up and get a ball and, you know, create a mismatch with their height and length, stuff like that. So Keyshawn Smith is 6 foot, is what he's listed at. He's only 170 pounds right now, which I'm sure he'll have to put on weight before he can play some Power 5 ball. But watching his film, there's two things that jumped off. The first thing that jumps off is speed, because he's lightning, you know. But the thing that resonated more with me, and the thing that I'm hoping translates a little better, because he is going to have to put on weight, so I'm thinking that maybe he'll slow down a little bit. And he's going to be playing against faster athletes anyways. But the thing that really resonated with me was his ball skills. Half of his highlights on 247 are him, you know, going up for jump balls and taking them away from the defensive backer. There's one where he's running a route. It's like a post route towards the middle of the field. And the quarterback throws it to the wrong shoulder, probably 5 yards behind him. And while the ball's in the air, he has to turn around and then relocate the ball and still goes up and grabs the ball out of triple coverage. And, I mean, he had no business, or the quarterback had no business throwing the ball, and he just made a play on it. You know, so I'm hoping that with his ball skills and his speed, and it looks like he has pretty long arms. I'll be interested to see his wingspan. Mm-hmm. I think I got my wish, man. I think he's that longer, rangier receiver that I wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, Keyshawn Smith, San Diego, California. Yeah, he's a 2020 receiver. 247 Sports had him as the 127th wide receiver in the 2020 cycle. Three-star guy. He's a former Washington State commit. And that, they released him from his national letter of intent because Mike Leach went to Mississippi State. And so, you know, if a receiver – if Mike Leach likes a receiver that kind of fits his offense, then that already tells me a lot. Just because, you know, it's a pass happy offense that he usually runs at Washington State or Texas Tech or wherever he's at. And so his senior year stats, he caught 46 passes, 808 yards, 8 touchdowns. I mean 46 catches, over 800 yards. That's already telling you that he's already, I mean, he's doing stuff with the ball once he catches it. So he's the fourth receiver in this class. We got Michael Redding the third, Xavier Streppo, and also Dazlin Worsham. So,
yeah.
You know, I love it, man. I'm interested to see. I haven't done the breakdown or anything. I don't know if we have another roster spot available. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, if anyone else enters the portal from us, if a quarterback enters the portal. So I'm still all for going after a grad transfer wide receiver. I know you're big on the Hazleton guy from La Tech.
Yeah. Oh man, I'm hoping he's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but Keyshawn Smith, man, welcome to the U. We're West Coast Cane, so we're glad to have him. And, he's an early enrollee, 14 early enrollees. That is a record.
I love it, dude.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That is so huge, especially a year that we have a coaching change with Rhett Lashley coming in. So for the guys on offense that enrolled early, can't be understated how huge that is for them to get in and get some reps in spring ball, you know, learn the new playbook and get some practice under their belt by the time that fall camp runs around.
Yeah, absolutely. And so he was one, and then on Sunday, we had another guy commit to Miami, Isaiah Dunson, out of Tucker, Georgia. He's a 4-star cornerback. Give it up for Mike Rump. All right, baby.
That's what's up.
I love it, man. I love it. I love it. I love it. And he is a former Florida State commit. So that is the third
Florida State commit we have stolen from them in the 2020 class, along with Jalen Knighton and Jalen Harrell. So I love it. We're stealing those, stealing them up from Florida State. And he's the 22nd – 247 Sports has him as the 22nd cornerback in the 2020 class. He's also had offers from Texas, Ole Miss, Penn State, UNC, South Carolina, and Georgia Tech. You know, he had other offers. Here, Kate, listen to this. He ran a 4.22 in the short shuttle. He's 6'2", 177 pounds. You know, good size for an incoming freshman at cornerback. You know, have you read up anything on him, or how do you feel about that?
I've done a little bit, and you know, I don't profess to be an expert at scouting. I know his sophomore and junior tape looked kind of iffy. You know, I had more than one person on Twitter tell me that they weren't very excited, and I didn't get a good vibe from stuff on YouTube in terms of his first 2 years, but his senior tape looks a lot different. He looks a lot faster. You know, maybe he grew into his body a little bit and, you know, got on a better workout regimen or something, but he does look a lot more smooth of an athlete, looks a lot quicker. I was impressed by his senior tape, and I'm, you know, Texas was hard after him, so Rumpf has to be doing something right, you know?
Yeah, and you know what? It makes me happy for Rumpf. He landed a big name guy. I know that we were after him for a while, and after Dunson for a while, and so, and that cornerback room is diminishing by the second. You know, we just lost Bandy, and you know, we're returning Blades and Ivy, and then we got Christian Williams and who's the other one? Couch, who I weigh about two of him, so. And then we got Dunson. So, I mean, let's hope that Rump can keep developing, but big weekend, man, big last days. And I'm happy right now. Let's go to some questions from Twitter. Okay. First one is from Jack Fitzgerald. It says, do you see any of these freshmen coming in and making a significant contribution right from the start?
Let's see. I'm trying to think in my head who I think Jalen Rivers has the opportunity to make an impact. I don't know if he's ready or not, but man, if there's a position that could use a freshman to step up, it's offensive line.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And before we landed De'Aaron King, I probably would have said Tyler Van Dyke. But now that we have a quarterback, you know what, Jalen Rivers, and it's still depending on if we go after a transfer portal offensive lineman. I've heard that we might be going after Devin Cochran. But yeah, if we don't, then I say Jalen Rivers. I mean, he could come in and really challenge Zion Nelson for the left tackle job. Besides that,
running back.
Absolutely. I mean, Jalen Island, Don Cheney, I think Knighton is really going to flourish in this Rhett Lashley offense. He is just so – he's quick. I mean, I love Jalen Knighton. I think he's going to be an absolute star for the Hurricanes. And same with Don Cheney. I think both of those guys – I still can't believe that we got the two top running backs in the state of Florida. But besides that, man, I could see Chance Williams making some plays at defensive end. And maybe I also think one of the two – freshman between Corey Flagg and Austin Tyreek Cave or Tyreek Austin Cave. I think I'm a big fan of those two guys. They kind of epitomize what a Manny Diaz Hurricane is. And I mean, they're just tackling machines, and you know, we have a little bit of depth at linebacker, but it's not like we're returning Pinkney and Quarterman. So,
I think we'll have guys that are like pretty safe bets to start the season. But if you told me that, you know, one of those freshmen were starting by the end of the year, anything's possible at that position. You know, like, we just have such little experience because of Pinkney and Quarterman starting literally every game of their career that, anything could happen. It wouldn't surprise me if both of those true freshmen were starting. I have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, I think we're both big Jalen Rivers guys. And so next question comes from Poke Kane. It says, who from the quarterback room is the first to hit the portal?
Jaren Williams.
I mean, I don't think there's any question about that. And no disrespect to Jaren, anything like that. I just think that, I mean, it's been reported that he's been looking at other schools and talking to people at other schools, and he's flirted with the portal once before.
All jokes aside, I mean, if you follow my Twitter, you know that I'm not a huge Jaren fan at this point. I think he's talented, but all jokes aside, really, he should. Like, looking at it from his point of view, you know, it's the business decision for him at this point. Like, he's talented. He's very, very talented. So I wouldn't surprise me to see him starting at a Power 5 program. So I think it's the best move for him to find a better situation that fits him and, you know, go be great. Like, he has the talent.
No, and that's the same thing. I mean, we saw what he can do when he's at the top of his game. I mean, you look at what he did against Florida State and Louisville back-to-back weeks. I mean, the dude was freaking insane. I mean, I think out of all the quarterbacks, I mean, between him, Tate, Nicosi, I think Jaren has the biggest upside, honestly. I mean, he has the biggest window, and I think he could go somewhere. I know that he was originally committed to Kentucky. I think he could go somewhere like Kentucky and start. I don't think Tate will transfer, because I think that you can Tate can back up King, and he can be kind of like a Taysom Hill kind of a guy, and they could still use him. And
change the game plan at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Tate kind of fits that Rhett Lashley offense. I mean, you put him and King as, you know, a 1-2 punch. I mean, that could be a scary duo. And I mean, you never want to see anyone transfer, but you know, for Jaren right now, it might be just, it might be easier if he did. And obviously, like I said, I hate to see anyone transfer, but, I mean, that's just kind of the way it is. We know that something's happening. So,
I love Cozy. I'm a big fan of him, so I don't want people to take me the wrong way. But I could really see Cozy transferring to a place like UCF or, you know, Florida Atlantic, something like that. And I think he could be successful there. And I'd be happy for him if he did, and I'd cheer for him. I think he fits a little better at like an upper level G5 program, more so than a, you know, like a big time ACC, Big 12, SEC program. But you know, I'm hoping that you know, we get to see a little more of him before his college career is over.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'm a big Cozy fan. I mean, just based off what he was able to do against Florida State that one year in general.
Yeah.
And I mean, and if you look at what he did against Virginia Tech this year, I mean, you put him in a spread offense, he's good, man. I love Nicosi. I think anyone who hates on Nicosi, just like, get out of here. Like,
yeah.
He matured so much this year, and he grew so much this year. I just want to see him do well. I'm just a big Nicosi fan, just how much he matured and how much he grew. Cause I know he had some problems and maturity issues, but you just love to see a guy like that grow up.
Yeah, that was it for me. I mean, going into the year, I mean, I'll be honest, going into the year, I didn't want Jaren or Cozy as quarterback because it was because of the maturity issues. Both of them got suspended last year. You know, Cozy had other off the field problems. Jaren had other off the field problems, you know, and just to see Cozy kind of become a like a stability in the locker room, at least from what I know, it seems like he was more of a stable presence. Like, good for you, man. You know, that's what life is about, is learning from your mistakes and growing up and making those changes and bettering yourself. And he did that, and that, you know, can't do anything but respect that. So I just want the best for him.
Absolutely, absolutely. And also, we forgot to mention Taylor Stubblefield out as wide receiver coach.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Okay. You know, I thought people hated on Stubbs a little more than they should have. You know, I guess I've learned a little bit more about, like, behind the scenes stuff since he got fired, and that makes his departure a little easier to handle. You know, maybe behind closed doors he was less effective than I thought originally. But you know, he gave us a great wide receiver class even before Keyshawn Smith with Dez and Redding and Restrepo. You know, and I didn't feel like we regressed. I felt like, you know, Osborne looked great. I don't know. It was hard for me to be too disappointed with Stubblefield, you know, his performance last season, but also it's not the end of the world. You know, I think we can do just as good or better.
Yeah, I think I mean, I haven't really looked at any candidates or anything like that. I know that Lamar Thomas has been talked about. I know Kevin Beard has also been talked about. I haven't. Really, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
How would you feel about that?
I like him. I like Cooney. I love what he does recruiting wise. Like I said, I haven't really looked too much into it just because. You know, we got King and Roche and everything like that. And I'm kind of the same way though. I'm a fan of Stubbs just because I knew him, from before when he coached with the Utes for 2 years. We had some mutual friends and we kind of talked a little bit when I was at fall camp. He's a good guy and I love what he did, with the receivers that he recruited. I know that they were very high on him. But if you kind of, and I think we can get someone better when it comes to developing. I mean, and you look at our receivers, what they were able to do last year. I mean, D. Wiggins did good. Mike Harley did good. But, I mean, they still need to do a lot better, man. I mean, Mark Pope needs to take a huge step this year. I don't want to say I'm worried about our wide receivers, but, man,
I am. I'll say it, bro. I'm worried about them.
I'm a little worried. It sucks not bringing Jeff Thomas back. And people, when I say that, people are going to say, oh, he was such a pain in the ass, like off the field, stuff like that. I'm not talking about his off the field crap, man. I'm talking about him based just his talent on the field and the threat that he brings to the field. People are so stupid when, I mean, I say that I'm a big Jeff Thomas guy. And they're, oh, how could you be such a Jeff Thomas guy? I'm like, just look at what he does when he is – playing up to his potential, man. Yeah. So I don't know.
When he's in a better offense, like the Mark Richt offense.
Yeah, exactly. Like, come on, really? Which,
calling that a better offense is laughable because that's why, you know, that's why a like a legendary coach of our generation had to retire because his offense was so bad.
Oh gosh, it was so
better than last year.
Just to think about how awful our offense has been the past 2 years, it's pretty depressing if you actually think about it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What else do we have? I mean, I think we've covered everything.
Oh, I think that's pretty much it, man. Hold on, let me refresh Twitter to make sure we haven't. I know any new transfers or anything.
The basketball team is down by about 40 against Duke, but other than that, I mean, South Florida sports is good right now, man. I know you're not a Heat fan, but yesterday was a huge win, and I mean, things are good right now. I just want spring ball to start.
Yeah, I'm ready for spring ball, dude. I'm so ready.
Absolutely, absolutely. But hey, we thank you guys so much for supporting. It's been a fun few episodes so far. And make sure to leave a like button, a subscribe button, a comment button, whatever. I don't know how that works, but keep supporting. That's all I can say. You got anything else, Jordan?
No, just thank you. I mean, it's been more successful than I expected. You know, I track these numbers all the time, kind of obsessed with it, and man, just puts a smile on my face every time I look. So thank you to the listeners, Brad and Kevin, thanks for coming on. Like Marsh said, subscribe, hit that like button, the retweet button, leave a review, 5 stars, or if you hate us, leave 1 star.
if you just don't like having fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah. See y'all next
week. It is just go to hell.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you guys so much, and go Canes, and we'll see you next week.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like.